There's four of us.
Podcasting with our faces. I literally live in a castle. I like to lick my elbows. You can find me under the bricks.
Welcome to episode 111 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. Welcome also to our third annual Halloween Spooktacular. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I should have known, because it's the party zone.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I forgot to mention VG Evo last week.
Oh yeah, you did. Oh well.
My name is Andrew Carrero, also resident Canadian, and for this podcast, I rose from my grave.
Wow, right. We should have Andrew on every week instead of Jason. Andrew actually knows about old video games.
What?
That's so good.
Well, no. I just used up my reference. I just did it.
He just Googled it. Now he's done.
Oh, no.
Thanks for coming on, Andrew. It's been a blast.
See you later.
See ya.
Halloween Spooktacular.
It's that time of year, guys. It's Halloween. What do you guys think? Are we pro Halloween at One More Castle? Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think?
I give it 5 handfuls of garlic bread.
Are you that family on the block?
Yes. It's like, trick or treat. That's great. Here's a pair of scissors, a book.
Here's a pamphlet on tax law.
Let's see. My review score for Halloween. I give it 2 thumbs that I chopped off the cadavers of my next-door neighbors prior to burying them in my backyard. I am so surprised the police have not fingered me as their primary suspect yet.
Fingered.
Wow.
Oh, good times.
Halloween's good. I don't mind it. I prefer
it. Yeah. I think for me it's just a tradition because me and my wife like to pair up in costume, and we started doing it, and this will be like our 6th year. So
what are you going to?
I think that's a couple thing.
Yeah,
like,
here's the
second
thing.
The second you're a couple for longer than 6 months, the female is already thinking about what, you know, couple costumes you can wear for Halloween.
Yeah, so Andrew, this year, because she is very pregnant, we are going kind of like a 1950s motif. I'm going to be the milkman, and she's going to be the pregnant housewife.
Nice.
It's nice.
It's pretty sweet.
It's kind of funny.
What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be a 72-year-old man trapped in the body of a 26-year-old.
So Jason Lamb. You're going to be Jason Lamb.
Every day of the week for Mr. Lamb.
Yeah, pretty much. So I got nothing, unfortunately.
That's okay.
I plan on going like a psychopath. Ooh. They look just like us.
You guys have some creepy costumes in mind. That's all I can
say. I'm going to go as a guy who's considering to shave, but then changes his mind because...
because
I know that guy. I'm aware of that guy.
Yeah, his name is Link from Wind Waker. Screw you, Grandma. What a good episode. Speaking of video games, let's talk about those. Have you guys played any old ones lately, or...
Yes.
Every time.
I played an old game. So this week, Good Old Games announced that they're releasing some old LucasArts games.
Which meant
I had to go ahead and buy TIE Fighter.
I've heard that's getting a re-release.
I did. I'm one of those guys. So I bought TIE Fighter. And which is great, because a while ago I bought a joystick from a secondhand store. You know, Salvation Army-esque thing. Plugged it in. Didn't work.
Of course,
didn't work. Yeah. Kind of pissed. So I tried playing with an Xbox 360 controller. Let me tell you this. No. It's just bad. It's just bad news. It doesn't help that the game, when you like map controls, it has roughly 5 screens with 20 different keystrokes available, because there's just that many different controls for the game. It's like you can assign your shield power all the way to the rear, or all the way to the front.
I remember
or the side,
that. Or in increments of 25%.
25%, or you want to match speed with whoever you're tracking, or blah, 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 blah. And of course,
you can track anything you can see.
Yeah. Maybe you want your lasers to have more energy assigned than your shields, so you can fire lasers quicker. Or more than your engines, so you go a little slower. But so, 360 control, a little lacking. So I sadly went out today, and for the $10 game from 1994, I bought a $60 joystick.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you need the
That's
Steel
the
Battalion
sign of a true
controller.
Retro gamer.
Yes. Way to go, Jason. Way to clutter up your home.
Yeah.
With physical media and accessories.
It's sweet,
you'll probably
though.
Never
it's...
use again.
No, well, I do. Right. I plan on using it. There's a game called Elite Dangerous coming out that I'm psyched about.
Oh, Elite, what a good franchise.
Yeah, plus I kick-started the... what's the other one? Star Citizen. So I'll be using it for that.
Oh, no, you
Jason,
didn't.
You didn't.
Oh, I totally...
Did you really?
No, you're one of those people.
Dude, I kick-started at the beginning. I, like, gave them $65. I'm like, here... I will see you.
That's
in
it. That's all you gave was $65.
Yeah,
because they're like, I've been reading their forums. I don't know why. I've got nothing to do with this game, but I've been reading the forums recently, and apparently a new ship came out like a couple of weeks ago, and it was like $150.
Yeah,
for this new ship, and this guy tried to make the comparison of a modest dinner with your wife in comparison to this, a $150 digital ship. And I'm like, you're out of your mind, man. This stuff doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
Like,
the best part is,
money at it.
Game's not even coming out till like 2015. So I gave them $65 in 2013. I was like, I will see you in 2 years.
Wow.
Do you guys remember that one iOS app, the I Am Rich app, where it's just basically a chat?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I think Star Citizen is basically just an entire game of that.
I'm so excited.
You want this ship? It'll be $900.
I'm
going to
be a bounty hunter. I'm going to bounty hunt people.
No, you're not.
I'm going to hunt.
It's never going to happen. Man.
I'm going to hunt the shit out of people.
It's going to be the biggest flop in gaming history.
Oh, you know what? Probably, but I
so,
will be there.
My memory of TIE Fighter is owning the demo on 3 3.5-inch diskettes.
Ooh, yes.
And running it on a 386.
Nice.
That played it at about 1 frame every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was like the ships would fly by in stop motion animation. So you can imagine the tense thrill of trying to line up your shot and fire laser, watch laser beam move, and oh crap, I missed. Oh, it was awful.
It's beautiful.
And they had like some kind of deal with a car company, like every time you loaded the demo, there'd be like a one of those like weird wacky early 90s computer animated car
commercial.
It was strange. TIE Fighter, good stuff.
If you're interested, the Good Old Games version comes with 2 versions of the game. There's the original like 93 DOS version, so MIDI music, original assets, and there's also the 1998 special edition, where they've replaced it with the actual soundtrack and they've taken the assets from X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
So it looks and sounds better. Aren't they doing like an HD re-release or something like that? Am I making that up?
You're making that up.
Okay, cool.
How dare you?
What have you played? I can always count on Hunter. I can always count on Eric Hunter.
You can always count on the Juggernaut.
That's right. Juggernaut!
I've been playing a game called Red Star for the PlayStation 2.
Never heard?
Right? So, I don't really know where I heard about this game either. It was probably on one of those bullshit top 10 gems on the PlayStation 2. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picked it up for fairly cheap on Amazon. It's an interesting game. Takes place in kind of like the future, post-apocalyptic, lots of robots. You are a faction of rebels that are trying to take back a colony of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So the game plays much like a run-and-gun beat-em-up kind of game. You get the pick from two different players, or two different characters, like an old man in a trench coat, and a spunky young female.
In a trench coat?
No, she is not in a trench coat. But the old man in the trench coat walks painfully slow. Like, I can put my controller down and take a drink of water slow. But, so you play through that, and you get to, like, a boss, and it suddenly becomes, like, a shoot-em-up bullet hell kind of a game.
Ooh.
Where, like, the first boss is, like, this, it's like this weird aircraft that comes through a dimensional hole in time. So only bits and pieces of it, you can see at one time. So, like, it'll turn around and blow its thrusters at you, so you gotta get in line to where it's not, there is no fire. And then it'll spin around and just shoot, like, the right turret gun, but it'll go in, like, this very slow, like, multi-shot bullet hell style. And you kind of got to dodge and weave.
It was my understanding that turning around and blowing your thrusters at someone was really rude.
Yes, flashing your thrusters. Flashing. That's what you were thinking.
That's the problem.
This guy was trying to kill me. Not just show off. So.
Gotcha. Plus, you can get pulled over if you do that.
Right.
Yes. Most definitely.
Check out the thruster on that guy.
It's a really fun game. It's a multiplayer game. Play two players at one time. It's super satisfying to throw, like, my sword javelin thing that I'm walking around with into somebody's chest. And then either throw them into another enemy or throw them off of the platform and watch them scream to their death.
Hunter, this game sounds really fun. You said it was called Red Star?
Well, the Red Star.
Oh, sorry. Red Star.
The Red Star for the PlayStation 2. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I got it for like $5 or $6.
Sweet.
Nice.
Super cheap.
Cool.
Ooh. But it's... there's enough in the game. I only played it for maybe like 20 minutes, but there's enough in the game that like it's, I didn't put it away. Like it's sitting on my table to play later.
Nice.
So, and that's huge for me. Like if I play a game for like 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I put it on my shelf. Like I'm never playing it again. Like, it's, it's just going to collect dust now.
I know that feeling. So. Andrew, have you played anything lately?
So what I'm going to do is something that's never been done before. I'm going to hijack this segment and talk about something completely different.
What?
I'm just going to go then. That's, we're not going to talk about old games.
No, so I actually did have a better, thrift store experience than Jason. Nice. So we were perusing the thrift store near my house for costumes. But then I said, oh, well, let me go check out what they have in terms of, like, games or electronics, just because I like seeing those weird old things.
Of course.
So apparently I picked up a Nintendo Wii for $20.
Nice.
Which actually works, which is great. Yeah, because the Wii that I have has actually been starting to crap out. Like, you'll put the disc in, and then it'll just spin forever and stay on that the initial screen, but never give you the prompt to press A to continue.
Oh, weird.
So now I got a backup for $20.
Sweet.
Cool. Nice.
But moving off of...
As long as it's still a GameCube machine, you're golden.
Yeah, no. It's, basically. I peeled the duct tape back. I could see they are two GameCubes, yeah.
Nice. And then I opened up the back, and there was a 12-pack of beer in it.
And in the beer, there was 20 bucks.
And then when I opened the 20 bucks, there were car keys. I went out, what did I find?
That's still probably one of my most favorite, like, thrift store find.
Oh, desert island.
Yeah.
Man. That was so cool.
I have a...
So have you been playing games on this Wii, or...?
No, well, I plugged it in, I turned it on, and I started searching through, like, the Wii store to see if they had downloaded any games on it, just trying to really understand, like, if this Wii had any value beyond its own hardware, but it's just on its own. It'll just be a backup when my actual Wii just dies.
Nice.
Which is a shame, because the only thing I use the Wii for is playing Mario Kart 64 anyhow.
Fair enough. You should hack it.
It's extremely specific. I like it.
That's a cheap Mario Kart 64 machine. $20. You can't get a 64 four controllers and that cart for that.
No.
No, you can't.
Just hack it, man.
Wait, is the Wii Shop still like up and running?
Oh, yeah. Leave the stupid Club Nintendo. It's like, you can get this game for the Wii.
But not on the Wii U.
Not on the Wii U. You have to get it for the Wii. So you install it for your Wii, turn on your Wii U, boot into the Wii menu, and then have to play it there.
What?
They're dumb.
Silly Nintendo.
Silly Nintendo.
Idiots. That's why I've always been more of a...
Jason, have you bought anything on the eShop?
For the Wii U eShop?
I don't know, for any Nintendo online store.
Yes.
Because I think they're all equally disreputable.
I only bought, for the Wii U, I've got Wii Fit U, which I bought from the eShop. Because I can literally just go on. And then I bought some games for the original Wii. I had like Ocarina of Time, Vigilante, a baseball game for the TurboGrafx.
Ooh.
Bobble, a Mega Man, or not Mega Man, sorry, Mega Bomberman.
The hesitation there is golden.
Yes, Mega Bomberman, yes. I've played that with
but
you guys.
They're in the... Yes, but it's in the Wii menu, so I never touch it on my Wii U. I'm just like, I don't want to go in there.
Man, Nintendo's just so weird when it comes to... Like, I still remember, I think it was like 6 to 8 months ago, they updated the software so that your Wii U profile would be connected to your 3DS profile.
Yeah.
The first thought in my mind was, that wasn't already a thing? Like, that's new? This is
news?
Oh,
yeah, it was...
Mind-boggling. Absolute mind-boggling. Yeah. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Whatever.
Whatever. I'm gonna pull a double Bailey.
Ooh.
For, I think, the first time, because, number one, I played a game, but I also brought it to the showdown.
So God. Terrible.
Oh, I thought those didn't count. I could have said that.
And I played another game that could barely be tangentially related to retro gaming. Do you guys know about Frog Fractions?
Oh, no.
So, God. Frog Fractions is... Why are you saying it's great? It's a Flash game. It's online.
Yeah.
It's influenced by many older games and older game genres. I don't want to say too much, but Alex Weiss actually did a video for One More Castle as part of his Deported series. Just a little 3-minute take on the game, and it's one of those games where you play it and it's very special. You don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you haven't played it, just Google Frog Fractions. It's an experience. It's one of those things where you play it and you're like, I want to interview the creator. So I emailed the guy and he emailed me and I need to get back to him. So, yeah. It's apparently enough of a sensation that when he launched a Kickstarter to make Frog Fractions 2, he was able to raise over $60,000.
Oh.
So it's already a franchise with that kind of legacy.
Cool.
That's what I played this week.
Yeah, that Kickstarter's... I don't know what they were trying to do, man. Like,
it's once you play the game, it makes more sense and less sense.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Fair enough.
of making more sense and less sense, Top Hat Duck says, we have a listener email discussion question. Goes like
for
this.
Those of you listening to the audio segment, Eric Bailey just held up a duck and squeezed it about four times. This has ended your closed
caption. It is wearing a top hat. I'm not like being nondescript. It's Top Hat Duck. Email goes like this. Hey guys, we spoke briefly at Indie PopCon about your podcast, and I just put up a review of it on my website. Check it out here. Thanks. Matt Quiet of Nerds Domain. He's on Twitter at Quiet, Q-U-I-E-T-T. There's two T's. So that's our email. If anyone wants to email us, please do ask us a question. We'll answer it. It's podcast@onemorecastle.com. But let's go ahead and read the segment with a little bit of funny.
You're going to read the review? Yeah,
yes, or... Hunter. I'm going to okay. read. I am going to read his review of One More Podcastle. So here we go. Are you a fan of retro video games?
No.
Do you harbor a secret collection of Atari and Sega video games?
Yes.
Have you ever said, remember that game on the NES? One More Podcastle is chock full of just the kind of material for you. From discussing the games they're playing to pitting games against each other in a weekly popularity contest, this podcast is full of retro goodness. Bailey, Hunter, and Jason spend an hour each week discussing retro gaming in a hilarious and fun podcast.
Nice.
The rapport between these three hosts is great, and it promotes the enjoyment of the overall podcast. When they talk about what they're playing and how a level is harder than they remember, I think fondly back on my years when I owned an NES or Super NES and played them for hours and hours. The audio quality is good, though there is the normal Skype kind of issue from time to time.
What?
There is a clear definition of format for the show, and the hosts stick to it and seem to enjoy it. The guys do tend to rib each other, and there are in-jokes that travel from episode to episode, so a new listener might be at a slight disadvantage. But they'll quickly catch up as the hosts make fun of each other and the games in new ways. I don't have a console. And other than a short stint of Xbox 360 ownership, I haven't owned a console in years. But these guys make me look longingly at the NES and Sega Genesis game systems when I head to our local video game reseller. If you grew up with any video game systems from the 80s or 90s, you should check this out. If you enjoy good humor and video game talk, this might be the podcast for you. I really enjoyed it, and I will be listening in from time to time again. I give One More Podcastle 4 out of 5 castles.
Wait, the audio was good?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's
just good?
I forgot to really...
Hunter, I think it's excellent.
I think the audio is fantastic. Unbelievable.
Top Hat Duck agrees.
I'm just gonna say that all that talk about the NES and making you long for it doesn't sound anything like me.
right.
Well, you,
I'm gonna go out and just to... say oh sorry.
All I'm saying is, in order to review the podcast favorably, you have to ignore Jason.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, some of our most listened to episodes are the ones without Jason. So,
there
right.
you go.
I mean, when me and Hunter are around, we talk about old video games. Jason and Andrew are, and they're all like, my modem, the Wii U. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Jason, why don't we just start talking about local politics?
How's that Tory going for you?
He's still doing the conservative thing. Oh, but at least he's
so
not
again, that
done.
Email is podcast@onemorecastle.com. We're going to take a music break. Thank you.
Nice.
We'll be right back. we're back. That was Electro Killer 6000 by Zircon, a cool little Castlevania remix I thought was appropriate for our third annual Halloween Spooktacular. I think the term spooktacular goes overused, but I saw Hunter use it earlier tonight, and I can't get away from it.
It's beautiful.
So, speaking of things I can't get away from that Hunter is involved with, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show, it's the best part really, where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. The best part, though, is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast episode page on warmorecastle.com. We typically follow a theme. Hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least, you'll have fun listening to us yell at each other. That being said, 2 episodes ago, we had a special guest free-for-all because our special guest was Alex. And the winner that week in what might have been the closest vote in the podcast history was Alex with To the Earth.
For what? NES.
I don't know.
Oh.
He defeated PO'd from Hunter on the PS1 and Bowling on the Intellivision from me, which is a Super Nintendo game, oddly enough. Just kidding. That's a joke. But yeah, Alex continues our tradition of the special guest winning, but narrowly. That was the votes. It was 9-8-6 on the votes.
Wow. Okay.
That's close. Tonight, in honor of Halloween, our theme is spooky games.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Spooky for me.
Spooky.
Spooky doopy.
Spooky. Hey guys. Are you spooky?
Yes.
Cool, I'm spooky too. So, typically Jason is the timekeeper.
Yeah, I got this stopwatch.
We're ready.
Okay, are you ready?
I don't know.
Alright, just go.
So, tonight, I actually picked one of my favorite games. It's a classic. And if people don't think it is, they should, because they're wrong, actually. It's a 2005 release from Capcom. It's been on a few different systems. I brought the GameCube version tonight. That's going to be my choice tonight. It's Resident Evil 4.
God damn it.
So good, guys! It's so good. I can't begin to... It's just the action is pitch perfect. Pacing is great. Weapons, characters, all of it. It's even gotten a little bit of contention for going away from the scariness of Resident Evil, more action-oriented. To that, I say, are you kidding me? It's still, like, pretty spooky. If you were in real life, and you had a bunch of weird cultists following you around, chanting in Latin, wanting to kill you, that's scary. I don't care who you are. Resident Evil 4.
2-1. God damn it. All right, Hunter. You ready?
Yes. Oh, I'm ready.
Good. You may begin.
There's nothing scarier than breaking into somebody's house, only to find that they're a crazed mad scientist out to destroy the world. No, it's not Stroker for the Commodore 64. It's Hugo's House of Horrors for DOS. In the game, the player controls the protagonist, Hugo, who comes to a haunted house to look for his girlfriend, Penelope, who hasn't been seen since she went babysitting there. The premise bears similarity to Lucasfilm's games Maniac Mansion. I do that every time. Released in 1987, where the main character enters a mansion in order to rescue his girlfriend from a mad scientist. It's Hugo's House of Horrors for DOS. It's Maniac Mansion.
Yeah.
I don't know why I always say manic.
Wait, so how's this going? Am I going now, or is Andrew?
You're going, Jason. Andrew is going to.
All right.
Okay, fine.
Andrew's going to go.
Wait, Andrew.
With authority. Andrew's going next. Yeah.
All right, Andrew, are you ready?
I'm the founder, gosh darn it.
You may begin.
Pop in the compact disc and prepare to be spooked, because I brought the 1993 classic, The Seventh Guest. This FMV puzzler puts you in the shoes of an amnesiac who finds himself at the haunted mansion of a murderer toy maker puzzle enthusiast, Henry Stauff. The player will go from room to room, experiencing the most moving performances possible from locally sourced and underpaid actors, presented in blurry yet terrifying videos overlaid on the pre-rendered 3D world. Feel the rush of methodically thinking through puzzling scenarios proposed by ghosts. Be moved by meditastic soundtrack composed by the timeless musician and songwriter, The Fat Man. Experience the loud whirring of your compact disc as it delivers digital audio like never before. Click around with a variety of mouse cursors. It's The Seventh Guest for the Microsoft Windows personal computer.
That's what PC stands for. Nuts.
Nice. All right, I guess I'll go.
Did he write that intro or get it from the Book of Knowledge?
Sorry.
Both.
I love it.
That's original.
The Book of Knowledge.
The Book of Knowledge.
I love his face.
Probably the oldest joke of Woodmore Castle.
Yes. All right. Here I go. A cautionary tale about when man plays God. This game was released for Microsoft Windows in the year of 2001 on October 31st, making it a true Halloween game. As you explore a planet, because some of your friends have gone missing, this big business is like, yo, go find them. We want to change this planet because we're playing God. And you go, and you're there. And then some aliens go, we're going to kill you, and they burst it out of your chest. And then a predator shows up. He's like, pa-doo, pa-doo. That's cool. It's Alien versus idiots. Predators 2 for the PC.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
So I'm the only one who brought a scary game. Is that...
Oh, I brought a scary game. My game's
terrifying.
Have you played my game?
Okay, Bailey.
You shit your pants.
Remember how 2 weeks ago I said you gotta have the Bailey dick pic. Like Bailey's gonna be an asshole and he's gonna bring a game.
I have that on my phone.
Yeah. Ooh. I went into this podcast going like Resident Evil 4. That's a good game. No, that's. I wouldn't bring Resident Evil 4. That'd be a dick move.
That'd be a Bailey move.
That'd be a Bailey move. And lo and behold, here we are with Resident Evil 4.
But the game's not even scary.
It is scary. Also, gentlemen, remember, we should have faith in our listeners that maybe you guys have a chance. You know, maybe you do. I haven't won in a while. Ugh, I haven't been on the show in a while, but I haven't won in a while.
The premise of Resident Evil 4 is the absolute worst. It's like the president's daughter is kidnapped by a cult somewhere in Spain, and their response is like, hey, let's send some guy with some herbs.
Let's send one guy by himself to see if he can make it.
Hey, we have a guy. Wasn't he a rookie cop in Raccoon City when that crap went down?
He's perfect.
Doesn't he have like PTSD or something? Didn't he killed a bunch of people? Let's send him.
Let's send him. Stable. Not the multi-billion dollars that we've put into an entire army to protect this country. No.
Okay,
let's
sir.
Send this guy.
What do you want us to equip him with? What weapons, devices, vehicles? What? Give him. Let's see. Let's give him
a sweet leather jacket.
Give him a leather jacket.
Sweet leather jacket.
A pistol. Maybe about 6 rounds on hard difficulty to start out with, and a knife. Give him a cool chest knife. He can pull right out of there when he needs to shank someone, you know?
Oh, you forgot
chest
his cutting
knife,
wit,
pistol,
too.
6 an herb, and one herb. Okay, sir, we got it.
That's one too many herbs.
And then, could you imagine, like, he's communicating with base throughout, and he's like, yeah, turns out she was kidnapped by this crazy cult that has these, like, huge plans to take over the whole world. And home base is like, should we send anybody else in? Or nope, he's cool. It's cool. Okay, you're doing a great job, Leon. You just stay. You're doing great, buddy. It's all on you.
When I played Resident Evil 4, a little piece of me died inside.
Which piece?
The piece that meant the most to the Resident Evil franchise. Yeah.
Oh, I think you're going to have Resident Evil purists angry with this.
Resident Evil 4 was more of a horrific entry to the series than the first movie was.
Oh, stop. Ooh. It's such a good... That's
this game is terrible.
What?
Like, if you want to do a complete 180 on something that is a multi-billion dollar franchise, it's Resident Evil 4. And they wonder why the money walked away. And they haven't been able to figure it out since. Doesn't make any sense. Are you so confused?
Yeah, I like Resident Evil 5. I played it drunk, but I liked it.
Terrible. Now, the seventh guest.
You're insane.
On the other hand.
Really, we're gonna
if you're looking for.
Let's talk about seventh
public
guest.
Public theater. Not paid actors and actresses with poorly written dialogue and crappy special effects. Boom! Seventh guest. It's even worse on the Sega Saturn, and I can admit to that because I own it.
I brought the Microsoft one, so...
Listen,
I'm sure it's not any better.
The seventh guest is so good that its recent Kickstarter to reboot the franchise failed.
Oh, I read about that. Yeah.
It failed so miserably.
No, it didn't fail. It didn't fail as bad as the Pitfall guy.
Yeah.
Oh, it did fail for one very specific
Pitfall
reason.
Guy.
Wow.
It's like when everybody went to the podcast, the Kickstarter page, they just had a chill down their spine. They're like, no, not again. I can't. It's not too again. Scary.
Too spoopy.
Good old Seventh Guest. Seventh Guest was one of those games that, like, I feel like it could have had that cult following from, you know, maybe not from us, but from younger gamers who were like looking for like those, you know, those crumbles of games that was released that kind of people passed over and then like went crazy about. But
see, never happened. My game literally has a cult following you around.
Touche.
All right. One for Bailey. He gets that.
Yes. Don't give him that.
So, 111 episodes, 1 point.
No, Seventh Guest was just, it was overzealous. Like, it just wasn't its time.
Hunter,
like, I think it would have been a better game had it come out, like, now.
Who is the sixth guest? That's what I'm really wondering.
Well, it's the ghost in the house.
Yeah, I think okay, I played this, like, yesterday. It was the weird merchant guy who's completely out of place.
Yeah.
Like, there's... It comes... It starts off, and then there is, like, a guy, I think? And then there's a couple, and then there's a singer lady, and then some other people, and then... Oh, no, sorry. The seventh guest is you. My bad. You're the seventh guest. And the sixth guest is the merchant guy. I don't know. It makes no sense. The entire game makes no sense.
That's all right. Either way, it's better than Hugo Sells a Horse.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, it's so true.
Hugo's
Nothing
House
is scarier.
Has the worst, most expensive, most diseased horrors I've ever seen. It's not a good house. It's
no. Oh well, I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. So
no, you don't. They're overpriced.
I mean, maybe for you, system. Cheapskate. But you know, from a man of my stature.
Okay.
You know what game you should have brought?
Don't hurt yourself saying that word.
The Hugo's House of Horrors Forquel Nightmare 3D, which is a Wolfen Forquel, which is
a made-up word.
Wolfenstein 3D clone.
No idea what a Forquel.
Where Hugo shoots his way through the House of Horrors.
No. You want to bust open pumpkins because that's where the key to the front door is, and you go in that way. Tex Adventures are all the rage. Still to this day.
Isn't it a point and click?
No, it is not. Ah, see, that's where the game fools you, thinking it's a point and click game. It is not. You use the arrow keys to move Hugo around, but then you actually have to type in the actions so that he can perform.
Sorry, the Windows port was point and click. The DOS game was text.
Correct.
Oh, ick. I see. Okay.
This just sounds awful. Yeah. Sounds like something Andrew would play. Sorry, hey, you love your point and clicks.
Oh, it's so good.
I love point and clicks. What's wrong with point and click games?
I don't like.
Have you played The Walking Dead?
Yes, I love it.
And what do you do in that game?
It's okay. It's terrible.
Well, if you're playing with an Xbox 360 controller, you're moving the joystick around.
I move the joystick
and pressing
around
pressing the A button.
Hunter, I love your outright dedication to using a controller, even when it's clearly not the best option to go
with. It's designed to be used with the 360 controller. I can't help but not use it.
Not Hotline Miami. I'm just...
Hotline Miami is great with a controller. I don't know why you guys were always talking about this.
Because the controllers are terrible.
Because I keep bringing it up. It's my fault. It's my fault.
Who makes the button to lock onto an enemy by clicking in the left joystick? That's the worst idea ever.
Who needs to lock onto enemies? Who would think it was fun to lock onto enemies? When I went into my neighbor's house to cut his thumbs off, did I have a lock-on mechanism? No. And did I manage to get out of there okay? Yes.
But I mean, you know, Legend of Zelda, Metroid. I mean, should I keep going? Are those titles not popular enough?
No, they're not.
Except the lock-on game?
Not enough.
Wow. Not enough.
Nope.
From the Nintendo legend himself, Legend of Zelda and Metroid, not enough.
Guys.
No, we need Clue Land.
Yeah, man.
And Pinbot.
I just want to say, my game's scarier.
I got four words for you. Link to the Past.
Ooh.
So good. It's the best. Oh, Link's Awakening. What? I got to play that game again.
How does that figure into anything? What are you talking
about?
It doesn't
have lock-on.
Just introduce the topic of Link to the Past and then just end
it? No. It doesn't have a lock-on. He's referring to the 64 games, which do. And he's referring to Metro Prime, which does. But Super Metroid and Link to the Past do not, even though they're widely and critically considered the superior titles.
And I was trying to rope the entire series in.
Oh, Lock-in wasn't around at that time.
Yeah. Jason, I actually forgot what game you brought.
Alien vs. Predator 2.
Well, nobody cares.
Nobody cares about your game, Jason. Go away.
The Marine campaign is terrifying.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Because aliens attacking you in dark corridors.
Do you want to know how to ruin two of the best series of movie franchises ever?
You combine them together and make...
You put them together.
Listen, the movies are crap. Alien vs. Predator 3 was crap, but Alien vs. Predator 1 and Alien vs. Predator 2 were gold.
Are those the ones that was like, oh, you can play as the alien, you can play as the predator, or you can play as the marine?
Yeah.
Why would I want to play as the marine?
Because you've got guns and flamethrowers and mechs.
Yeah. Man, I could play as the Marine in any game ever
true.
That was created.
Space Marine! That's true.
Hey, multiplayer was great. Three-way, three different teams. Ooh.
Ooh. Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah!
Sorry.
That's good.
Wait, is this the game that GOG was given away?
No, that was the original. I brought that last Halloween.
Okay, I figured.
This is a sequel.
Hunter, when's the last time you played Resident Evil 4?
It was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Did you get to the part with the regenerators?
Regenerators.
God, I hate them. They're so cheap.
Those things are terrifying.
I don't think so. No, I got. The thing that rings the clearest in my mind about this game is one. Obviously, it's a completely different overhaul from the rest of the series, which to me was upsetting because Resident Evil, especially the first and second one, were so it was so tightly wound in terms of balancing the darkness and the horror together, but yet still have like that kooky zombie faux pas on top. It was just a perfect package to play with. And then playing the fourth one, it's like everything is so bright. And I'm not fighting zombies, which is fine because, you know, nobody really cares about zombies. And it's a over the shoulder, which is, I guess, is better because, you know, people have problems with tank controls. I get that. You know, just because you're not good at a game doesn't make the game bad. I'll continue to say that till the day I die. But I think the thing that killed me the most was they tried updating the inventory system when you meet up with the merchant with the hood and the cowl, and you don't know who he is, and he's this
what are you buying
guy, and you have to worry about
stranger
creating. That's you have to worry about creating the weapons to
I
use.
I love that stuff. Inventory management. That's like my thing. Man.
I don't
that's
have time for crafting if I'm supposed to be scared. Like, you want to talk about pumping the brakes on a video game?
Sure.
That is taking 20 minutes to try to craft a weapon when you're supposed to be in a survival horror atmosphere.
You're exaggerating, my friend. It's not that big of a deal.
To relate to something that we spoke about earlier, the stealth scene in Hotline Miami. You want to talk about pumping the brakes on something that actually had something going. That's the worst thing you can do in a video game.
I can't remember that. It's because I played with a mouse and it's nonstop action.
No. The stealth scene is terrible.
The problem is that terrible. The action actually stops. So in some of the newer Silent Hill games, when you go into the pause menu, it doesn't actually pause the action. Like, enemies will still come up and get you, even if you're in a pause menu. But Resident Evil 4, if you pause, it's just everything. You can take a nice little vacation.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Like, I'm back and forth on that. Like, I would rather pause the game and the actual gameplay not pause, then hear some crappy loop MIDI music over and over again when I pause the game. Like, if I pause the game, like, the game should stop. Like, I don't want to hear music. Like, there's a reason. Like, I'm on the phone, or I gotta, you know, gotta go do something. And it's like, oh, the pizza guy's here. I run up and I open the door and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's going good. How much is it? Oh, it's $22.75. And all of a sudden in the background here, like,
and all the
I don't
zombies
want that.
Are
I don't
range,
want that.
And there's one sweet zombie, like, just spinning.
Just give me something else. Just anything else.
All right, Hunter. Hunter, you said that nothing is scarier than breaking into somebody's house and finding a mad scientist inside.
Yeah.
I disagree. And I made a top five list. Top five things scarier than breaking into somebody's house. Number one, Andrew's internet connection. Number two, Mickey Mouse Speedland USA, or whatever it's called. Number three, Jason's butt hair.
What?
The less said, the better. Number four, the Nintendo eShop.
Ooh.
And number five, zombie raves. Thank you, Andrew.
There you go. Wow. All right. I still think combining graphics with text adventures was a neat idea. And Hugo's House of Horrors did it extremely well.
I disagree.
The music's terrible.
It doesn't sound like a game I would want to play.
Oh, the music's so bad.
It doesn't sound like it would grip. Is it really scary? I mean, it's made on
you
dogs.
Smash a pumpkin to get the key to the front door.
Okay, but in Maniac Mansion, you can...
You pull a rug.
Genuinely disturbing. You can blow a hamster up in the microwave.
Right. But,
yeah, but the kicker is that later on you realize that the pumpkin was actually a living, breathing baby child.
What?
Oh.
You have to wait until the end of the credits.
Huh. I see somebody's anti-baby. Interesting.
There you go.
Not a good time right now, Andrew?
I mean, I just don't think we have to talk about Alien versus Predator. Like, everybody knows it's terrible. Colonial Marine was awful.
Yeah.
Alien Isolation goes on too long. Nobody wants another crappy DOS first-person shooter.
The thing about Alien Dance with Predators 2 is that I don't even think Jason wants to talk about it.
Alien vs. Predator 2? I owned Alien vs. Predator 2. It was fantastic. I would sell my grandmother.
I don't know.
My own oil
Why are
platform.
Grandmother grandmothers all of a
wouldn't
sudden?
Know what to do with Andrew's Kissing Predators number 2.
Ah, yeah, Andrew's Kissing Predators number 2.
That's weird.
Jason, how much does your grandma go for these days?
Like, seven pesos?
That's not a lot of money.
Wow, I'm getting me some grandmas, I guess.
Yeah.
Selling grandmas. There's an episode title for you. Happy Halloween, everybody. Here's a grandma.
Can I take a moment to tell everybody about the great...
Please, Andrew, please save us.
The seventh guest. So the default cursor as you move around is a skeleton hand. And it, like, does a little pointy thing And then there's this little pointy thing in the other direction if you want to go to the other direction. That is pointy thing in the right direction if you want to go there. And if you go to the menu, it turns into like an Illuminati triangle with a little eyeball, which is wonderful because it's not immediately obvious where the actual hitbox of this massive icon is. So when I first started the game, I went to go and I wanted to resume the game and I actually restarted. So I had to watch the 15-20 minute unskippable cutscene again, which kind of cut down on the amount of time I was able to play it for this review.
See, that's one of the...
You know what? For those interested, Steam Halloween sale, 7th guest, it's $3.24 Canadian right now.
God damn it, I could have saved myself $3 if I waited.
Nice. Well, no, that's the thing about 7th guest, because it's like, you're playing the game and you get into the atmosphere, because it creates a pretty nice atmosphere, but then you have to wait 15 seconds for the cutscenes to load, and it's like... And then when they load, they're like 4.5 minutes long. It's like, all right, I'm done. Like nothing about this. I'm out of it. Like I'm done.
Did you interact with things when your mouse turned into a chatter teeth, and then it did some animation, which was either spooky or funny?
Not that I recall.
Okay, well that was a pretty good part.
That's it. That's all you got. Is it the chatter teeth was a pretty good part.
My game has chattering teeth, and it's pretty cool.
Sweet. Hey, has anyone else brought chattering teeth? No? All right, I'll just take my awards.
I don't know. My game has vandalism, so.
Mine has aliens and predators.
Nobody cares, Jason.
Whoa.
In my game, you can stab priests to death.
Eric Bailey, is that a selling point? Is that a positive thing?
Yes. My game's brought to you by Chris Hansen.
Who's Chris Hansen?
To catch a predator.
Oh, come on.
Please have a seat over here.
Hey, Jason, who wins in your game? Just skip me to the end.
No, that's a good question. So you've got the alien, you've got the predator, you have the marine. So, yeah. Like, you know, who is the ultimate victor in this threesome?
In terms of total casualties, I'm going to say the predator wins.
Huh.
Really?
No, but you have to weight that against their overall population. How many predators are there in the world?
In the world or the universe?
Yeah, no universe. The world is kind of a pretty bad sample.
I'm not sure. I'm not up to date on my predator population studies.
All right, Jason loses because he didn't do his research.
Yeah. Don't make a very good communist, do you?
No. Huh. Sorry, guys. I let you down.
Way to go. My game has a rocket launcher.
Cool.
Nobody cares.
So does every other game in the world.
I know, yeah. Right? Like, this is...
Does Resident Evil 4 really have a rocket launcher?
That's what RE4
did. I didn't play
it
for long enough.
Is it took every popular game that was popular at the time and then just
threw...
It's
not a first
the Resident Evil
multiplayer online shooter. It is an atmospheric, gripping inventory management simulator, and I love it. I love it.
Yep, my vote.
Organizing everything in my little briefcase when I upgrade it. Oh man,
so I just
right
wanted
there.
To mention
it's my blood pumping.
Let's see if I can find it really quick.
Right through my veins. Looks like a homeless child. Shows. Mario does.
Somebody online.
Eric Bailey, did the amount of like witty one-liners go down as the game went on? I can't remember.
No.
Or did it say
it's pretty steady. It's a pretty steady flow. Yeah. It's pretty good. Sometimes there are like puns, but other times it's just plain good quotes. Like when the big bad is on the radio with you and he says, "Writhe in my cage of torment, my friend." Shuts off. It's so good.
Which one was Big Bad again? Was that the tiny guy?
No,
Which one was the tiny guy? I remember the tiny guy. Tell me about the tiny guy.
Yes, the tiny guy is the Castilian. He's the guy.
Tell me about the tiny guy.
The tiny guy.
Tiny guy.
He's very short, kind of creepy, very old. And he tries to kill you a lot, and you end up killing him.
after he morphs.
So I just wanted to point out somebody who mentioned something on Twitter, because Bailey's kind enough to be tweeting as we're recording. And we got an excellent reply from Mr. Steven Sword, who is at Dragonkin Swerve, S-V-E-R-D, on Twitter. He says that RE4 is a great game, but it's a terrible Resident Evil. And for that, my friends, I agree 100%.
Does Resident Evil still exist, though?
No, it's been dead since RE4, if you ask me. That's why they're making HD remake after HD remake of the original three, because nobody's buying 4, 5, and 6.
They made an HD remake of 4 too,
and nobody bought it.
I have no idea what the industry is going to do in the next 8 years when all of the HD remakes they could have HD remoke have been HD remoke.
They're going to keep going back. They're going to make all the 16-bit games.
I know they're
going
to go back to.
They're
like,
just going
to
make VR versions.
Gonna go
indie
back to
developer
Pac-Man
is gonna
and
be
make
like,
an HD
okay,
remake of Pac-Man.
Yeah, we need to make pixel graphics, but in HD. Can we put 2,000 pixels wide across the screen? Can we go and squeeze that in for you? Yeah.
For just one pixel.
4K is around the corner. So Pac-Man 4K, Resident Evil
that
4K.
Be, oh, that'd be fun. Pac-Man like an enormous maze. Can you imagine that? You can like barely see him. Little Pac-Man, you know.
I can't wait for the Oculus Rift remake of Super Mario Brothers using voxels.
That'd be great, man.
I can.
That's great. Someone's already made one.
Yeah, probably.
Completely destructible environments.
Sweet.
Terrible. Stupid alien versus predator.
Well, it's great.
Never thought that was a good idea.
Well, just because he brought Hugo's Haunted Crap Fest.
Jeez.
Hugo's Piece of Crap. Available now on Microsoft Crap.
On MS-DOS.
Final the arguments, guys. I'm cutting it. Andrew. What? He's got me, Jason. What do you have to say,
that was
Jason?
What Jason thinks about Alien versus Predator.
You're good? You don't want to share?
No, I'm good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Did you bring enough for everybody?
No.
Andrew, why should anyone... I don't even know what game he brought. It was some like weird like thing with this other guy. And there's like.
I'm going to be honest. I was on... I think I was on Twitter a second ago. I wasn't looking. Seventh Guest, it's hilarious. It's an FMV game. Y'all should play it. And it's... was one of the best reasons for the adoption of CD-ROM when people cared about CD-ROMs.
Yeah. Andrew, do you know what FMV stands for?
Full motion video. Nope. Suck it, Bailey!
Nope, stands for piece of crap.
That's what?
That, I mean,
Hunter!
Don't even
why worry. Should anyone vote for Hugo Weaving and his misadventures in Tinseltown?
Why is Bailey allowed to do this?
You should vote for Hugo's House of Horrors, because if you're looking for a certain scare fest with Tex Adventure and super sweet graphics, you will only find that with Hugo's House of Horrors, which is on sale at GOG right now for like $5. You get the entire trailer.
Sweet.
$5.
Don't buy it.
$5. Jason, why should anyone vote for Alien vs. Predator Requiem for a Dream?
Came out on Halloween. Got aliens.
And time.
Jason's going to win. Okay. You should vote for Resident Evil 4 because it's the indisputed superior classic 5-star blockbuster. Awesome, great, replayable game. And that's our showdown. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being an audience. Once again, I want to remind you, please send us discussion questions, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Also, buy a shirt. Because eventually you will. You're going to reach a point where you're fond enough of the podcast to realize, I should buy a One More Castle shirt. So you can find it at onemorecastle.com/shop. Now, the live stream, if you want to get in on that action, We typically tweet the link to it around 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. So those of you who are checking out the episodes Monday morning on the site, that's how you can get in on the podcast action. I do want to shout out the people who have been watching and commenting tonight. People like Dustin Faber, Eric Bailey, Jonathan Higgins, Alex Weiss, Andrew Carrero, another Jonathan, Paul Sharp, Brent, Jake, good to see you. Yeah, thanks guys for hanging out. Good stuff. If you want to get to know me on a more personal level, find me on Twitter at Nintendo_Legend. Hunter, any reminders, shameless plugs, or advice on how to remove rodents from your house?
I'm all about shameless plugs. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. And to get rid of those dastardly rodents that are festering in your garage, get them in a trap, put them in a pot, and make a soup.
Nice. Jason, any reminders? Shameless plugs? List of prescription medication that you've been taking lately?
You can find me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And in terms of prescription medication, I'm taking Nasonex. And wait, hold on.
Flintstone vitamins.
I'm also taking Turbuhaler by, hold on, Symbicort for my chest infection.
Oh.
So yes, those are the prescription medicines.
What's that mean, a chest infection?
My chest hates itself and wishes to die.
What is it, just like depressed sucks. Or something? Or? Is your chest emo, Jason?
It is. My chest is listening to some emo
dashboard
music.
Dashboard confessional.
Oh my god, yes. My chest loves that shit.
We all go through that phase.
Andrew, any final remarks? Final reminders? Any general tips on self-improvement as a human being in this great big wide world of ours?
Okay, for that last one, follow me on Twitter at @ArcadeErrorWin. I'm also working on I'm just a tweet about programming or stuff or gaming or whatever, I guess. Whatever. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
cool. Got nothing else.
That's about right.
You don't need anything, man. You just named like half the things. So... Yeah, happy Halloween, guys. Andrew, thanks for joining us. Thanks for making this a tradition. Thanks for being more clever than Jason.
Not that hard.
It's true.
Well, let's not go crazy here.
Don't mind if I do. And dear audience, just remember for me, please. You are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.